Open your Bibles, please. And we're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning for a little bit. We'll be in some various verses. But the whole thing we want to look at this morning is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting, abundant life. And so this is what we've been talking about, that we need to tell the world that they can have life now. So many times when we talk to people about forgiveness of sin, when we talk about the need to accept Christ as Savior, we always focus on life after death. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly right now, life now. And so we looked at life and the life that Jesus Christ offers our first week. Then we talked about us. What keeps us from having a relationship with God? And that was from Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the next week we looked at God. What has God done? And that was Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That God takes our place. He is our substitute. And this week we want to talk about Jesus. And I want to get right into it this morning. Who is Jesus? Life now, life forever. It's all through Jesus. But who is Jesus? I asked Pat this morning. I said, Pat, I've got a couple of old songs I want you to do. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. And then the second one. He paid a debt he did not owe. I had a debt I could not pay. Who is Jesus? If you have your sermon outline there, who is Jesus? He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the God-man. He is God come in the flesh. He lived a sinless life. He experienced rejection. He experienced ridicule. He experienced pain and suffering. He took my sin upon himself. He assumed the penalty for my sin by dying on a cross. He paid a debt he did not owe. I had a debt I could not pay. He rose victoriously from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Jesus, the thing we want to share with people, more than a man, he's God. More than God, he's a loving God who cares. And he died for you. And he died for those we need to share Christ with. In fact, let's look at some verses. John chapter 1. And John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Notice what it says. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. It's logos. It is this idea of God in fullness. But more than that, this idea of in the beginning was the Word, it's an Old Testament concept. So many Bible commentaries will say that this was the Greek word that John used to describe God. No, there's a better explanation. In the beginning was the Word is a reference to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, what? God. And the idea here is that in all through the Old Testament, God would appear, he would speak, but in terms of God permanently dwelling among his people, he didn't do that. There was his Shekinah glory in the temple. There were times when he would appear in a burning bush. But most of the time when the prophets were writing about God, they would say this, the word of the Lord came to, name a prophet, Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Malachi. But now John does something different. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, notice what he very clearly says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, John 1, verse 1, now John 1, verse 14, and the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. See, it's this idea of God dwelling, not now just in a temple in His glory, but God in flesh dwelling among the people. It's this idea of once a year they would celebrate a feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, where they would temporarily make booths out of palm branches. And it was a symbol of their wandering, but it was also a symbol of just their temporary tabernacle on earth, that we just live here for a short time. And now John 1:14 comes along and says, "And the Word became flesh and literally tabernacled amongst us." That God came, our Jesus came, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. More than that, notice this, Isaiah 53:5-6. Notice what it says about Jesus. "Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises." Then it says, "He came from," okay, say it with me, "He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky." And then Isaiah 53, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." That's our rebellion. That's why Jesus, He experienced rejection. He experienced ridicule. He experienced beaten, whipped, crucified. But He did this. Notice this. "The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." That's Jesus. And so that's where we're at this morning. That's what's taking place, Jesus Christ our Savior. And so here we're going to do some review right now. The engaging question. If you want to share your faith with people, I have a question to ask you. Do you know the engaging question? Here's the engaging question if we want to reach people in our culture today. You ready for it? You should know it. If you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give your life? That's all you ask. That's how you begin conversations in a culture that has turned away from God, in a culture that says, "I don't need God." I believe that when you meet the people that God is sovereignly working on, that God has dropped a rock on, that God is starting to stir up the heart of, all you do is ask the engaging question. If you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your life? Easiest question in the world to ask, isn't it? Ask a neighbor. Ask a coworker over coffee. Ask a family member. And whatever their response is, the second thing you then ask them is this. What do you think it would take to make your life a 10? And so I look over here and I say, "Daniel, if you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your life?" 3. Excellent. There are times when my life has been a 2. And then you just, that's all you do is just say 3. You just say, "Well, why a 3? And this is about relationships. This is about not closing a sale. This is not about having another mark on the wall. This is about caring for people that you're praying for. And it's like, "Well, I've known this person for years." And it's like, okay, you're like the best-looking guy I've ever seen. You've got more money than most people I know. You drive an awesome pickup truck. I would never have imagined in my life that your life is a 3. Why is your life a 3? And you learn to listen. And you learn, and it's like, "Well, can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help?" But if you want to keep moving them towards Christ, then the next question is this. "Tim, what would it take to make your life a 10? And then you just sit and listen. Don't answer that. But some people might say, "I wish God would take away my cancer." Maybe someone would say, "I wish I had a better job. I wish that I could meet someone special." You'd be amazed at what people say. But then the next question is, if you had God in your life, Do you think your number would go up or down? Now, culture wants people to respond, don't need God, don't want God. No way in the world God would make my life better. But that's where you wait and you pray, because now we want to talk about the great transaction. That's what we want to talk about, is how do you move from the engaging question, if you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give it? What would it take to make your life a 10, in your opinion? And then the next part of it is, if God was in your life, would that number go up or down? Because the next thing is this, the great transaction. How can Jesus Christ make a difference in a person's life? And that's where we want to talk about the great transaction. Why Jesus Christ can give people new life and new hope. This is a video. It's called Your Legacy. It's by Dr. James Dobson. And it's the story of how his great-grandfather came to Christ. It's an amazing video. How his great-grandfather came to Christ, then his grandfather, and how his father came to Christ, and now how he came to Christ. It's an amazing thing, but imagine if instead of the DVD being called Your Legacy, Dr. James Dobson, it was called My Legacy, and your name was here, and it was a video of every hidden thing you've ever done that you're ashamed of. Would you want me to show it in church? I wouldn't want to show my DVD in church. Even if it was in 4K or Blu-ray, I would not want to show it to you. So what I'd like us to do this morning, the great transaction, I'd like you to grab a Bible or a hymn book in front of you, or if you have your Bible, grab that Bible and just set it on your lap right now. But have a book available to you. I'd like everyone to do this. This is the great transaction. This is you. Hold up your hand like this. This is God. And God wants us to have a relationship. Go like this. This is what God desires. This is you. This is God. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. God wants to have a relationship with you. But there's something. Now take that book. Or if you're sharing with someone, you can take a DVD. This is the story of your life. Imagine if every wrong thing you had ever done, every shameful thing you had ever done was written in a book. Imagine if it was on a DVD. What keeps us from having a relationship with God? There's a barrier. There's something blocking us. It's our sinfulness. And this is the whole thing. That the great transaction is simply this. I had a debt I couldn't pay. Now, go like this. This is you. God wants a relationship with you. But what's blocking it? My sin. What does God do? I had a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. The great transaction was when on the cross, Jesus Christ took whose sin? My sin. And he was placed upon him. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Because what he did then with that debt is there's a verse in the Bible that says he takes our sins, and don't do this, you'll hit somebody. He throws it where? Into the deepest parts of the ocean. As far as the east is from the west, so far as has he what? Separated us from our sin. That is the great transaction. This is what we need to share with people. That Jesus Christ, our Savior, took upon himself our sin. And so, this is you. This is God. God wants to have a relationship with you. But what What is keeping you? Hold up your book. What's keeping God from having a relationship? Our sinfulness. And so what did God do? Jesus came to earth in the flesh, and by dying on the cross, he took our sin upon himself, and then through his resurrection, not only did he forgive, but he what? He forgave our sin, so that now what? He can have a relationship with us. That is the great transaction. That's what we need to share. That's what we need to tell people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that life is now. That life is forgiveness. That life is a new start. That life is a new beginning. That life is being cleansed and being able to start over. That new life is being placed into a family of believers who love you. No matter how many mistakes you've made, through Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. And so John 3:16. Notice what it says here. If the righteous is scarcely saved, you know, you think about it, if only for Christ, what would we have? Nothing. If the righteous is scarcely saved, Peter writes, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Without Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. Notice what else it says. How will this great transaction, how will it help you share your faith this week? Who are you going to share it with? Maybe with a child. Maybe with a spouse. Maybe with a family member or a coworker. You know, take them out for coffee and say, I heard the neatest story this week. And you can take their wallet and just say, take your wallet. Because sometimes, guess what's the greatest barrier between our love of money? Take whatever you want. But just remember that this story, the great transaction, is meant to be used for us to share our faith this week. And so now, how do we finish off? It's the Olympics. And so, bronze faith. Do you want to win the bronze? Bronze faith. I have asked myself the engaging question. Have you ever asked yourself, am I truly a believer? Have I truly accepted Christ? Have I really ever said, Jesus, take my sin and forgive me? If you want to win the bronze, have you asked yourself the engaging question, and have you received the great transaction? That's bronze faith. Congratulations. You're a winner. However, if you want the silver, there's more. I have asked someone the engaging question and asked them if God would make a difference in their life. That's this week's silver. Do you want the silver? Then this week, pray for someone. Say, okay, I'm going to ask someone. I'm going to get up the courage. I'm going to ask God for boldness. I'm going to overcome my fear. And I'm going to say to someone the engaging question. And what is it? If you were to rate your life on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give yourself? That's all. Now remember, the second part is, what do you think would make it a 10? But what we really are hoping for is an opportunity to say, if God was in your life. But the silver faith is this. I'm going to ask someone the engaging question and ask them if God would make a difference in their life. And then gold. Do you want to win the gold? This week, I have explained the great transaction to someone I care about. That's all. The great transaction. Okay, let's all do it together. This is me. This is God. God wants to have a relationship with us, but there's a barrier. That barrier is what? Our sin. My sin. Your sin. And so what God did is God came to earth as the man Jesus, and on the cross, what did he do? He took our sin upon himself, and by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, he forgave our sin. It was as if he sees us as if we had never sinned, And now, through faith in Christ, we're able to have a relationship with Him. That's the great transaction. Would you like to receive Christ and receive His gift? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's all. That's all there is this morning. Pat, come on up while we pray. And we're going to sing one more. We're going to sing that old song again. Can you make it up? This is Bad Back Sunday. And so pray for Pat. But Pat's going to come up. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. And then Pat's going to start to play. And then we're going to stand and sing together. Father, we just pray for Pat, and we pray for everyone in our church family who understands what it means to have pain and health struggles. And I just pray for him that you would give him some healing and relief from his pain. Thank you that he graciously came this morning and just played despite the pain. And Father, we just thank you right now. Help us to realize that there are people all around us, people who more than physical pain, they are struggling spiritually. They're struggling with purpose. They're struggling with why. You know, my life is out of 10 is not. It's a 3. It's a 2. It's just I don't know what to do. And we have hope that we offer in Jesus Christ. And right now, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that we who have accepted Christ, we sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, because it's so amazing that you loved us and died for us and care about us. So Lord, right now, this week, have we accepted Christ as our Savior? Have we ever asked someone the engaging question, you know, could God make a difference in your life? Have we ever explained the great transaction to someone? Lord, we need to share our faith. And you bring us into contact with people in our home, in our neighborhood, at work, from all around the world, people who maybe have never heard the true story of Jesus and his love. So, Father, help us, I pray, to be bold and to ask for boldness, because we don't do this naturally. We're afraid. We don't like to have people make faces at us. But, Lord, we need to share our faith with people. So, Lord, help us, I ask. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.